This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
The next generation of women will say, "We never doubted it for a moment." L'Oreal Paris.
Super Stay Matte Ink from Maybelline, New York. A liquid matte formula that's transfer-proof and lasts all day.
25 love struck shades that love you back because you and your lips were made to be loved. Lakme Reinvent.
Who doesn't want to look pretty? So last night, I saw one of my favorite Instagram influencers ditch her usual content and talk about her new beauty regimen that she claims has worked wonders for her skin.
I'm currently using the White Seed Brightening Serum. I bought this product very recently and loving it absolutely. If you have texture on your skin or if you just need some hydration on your skin and you don't need a very heavy serum, highly recommend this.
I've had the worst breakout in months. Got these three dreadful zits right in a line. I'm thinking my pickup line for Valentine's Day should be, "Why look at the night sky when you can see Orion's belt on my cheek?" Jokes apart, being someone who gets pretty swayed by what celebrities and influencers say, I ended up placing an order for the said product. Whether it ends up clearing up my skin or leads to the emergence of a whole new constellation on my face, we'll have to keep that for another episode. But that's the thing. This influencer made me purchase a brand I had never heard of before. That's exactly what direct-to-consumer beauty and personal care company Good Glam Group is trying to script. There's a new moniker too, Content Commerce. And it turns out, they too have been busy shopping like me. Not for products, silly, but companies. Stay tuned as I speak to Naushad Rizwanullah, CEO Miss Malini Entertainment, one of the content companies cherry-picked by Good Glam last December. I'll also speak to my colleague Sneha Shah to discuss this buying spree and also decipher what this content-to-commerce strategy is all about. We'll also talk about how the Good Glam Group finds itself drawn into a sexual harassment controversy in Scoopwhoop, which is one of the content startups that it scooped up in October. We'll try and find out if there's been a rethink in their strategy at all.
The CEO of Scoopwhoop, Satvik Mishra, resigned after being accused of allegedly sexually harassing a former employee. The accusation surfaced recently after the survivor posted on social media the reason for his resignation and named Satvik as the accused.
I'm your host Diya Rekhi, and today is the 11th of February and you're listening to Good Glam Bad Glam on The Morning Brief. For those of you who splurge on skincare and cosmetics, you might know MyGlam. It was MyGlam till a few months back, but then chose to be rebranded as Good Glam Group to bring in all of its businesses under a single umbrella. It became a unicorn last November, which means that its valuation crossed the $1 billion mark, and the Good Glam Group has been acquiring companies at a pace that would make me breathless. So I got my colleague Sneha Shah to bring us up to speed.
Good Glam realized that, you know, though it was getting good growth in sales, the higher customer acquisition cost was a big problem for them. And the only way to solve that was to have a very strong content platform by its side. So in 2020, just when we were in the midst of the first wave of coronavirus, it went on and acquired Popexo and Plixo. These are women-centric content platform. And then, you know, there are these Baby Chakra, you know, even Miss Malini Entertainment, which is very high on the celebrity and the high-end influencer network, and then Scoopwhoop, where people primarily come and consume a lot of men-centric content. So it has acquired all these companies to strengthen its entire content-to-commerce platform.
Actually, it's the arrival of the beauty and personal care category on the world stage. I think the time has come. The moment has come for DTC, beauty, personal care giant that's bigger than a Decacorn to come out of India. And I think this is the first step towards that.
That was Darpan Sanghvi, Good Glam Group's founder and CEO. As much as I wanted to dive right into what is happening now, I needed to tell myself, aap chronology samjhiye. So I picked Sneha's brains a bit more and got her to tell me how Good Glam Group got to this point.
It all started in 2017 where the founder Darpan Sanghvi, after having tried his hands at opening high-end spas, salons and also on-demand home salon business, decided to pivot to the beauty and personal care segment where, you know, he saw a lot of demand coming from the cosmetics brand created specifically for the Indian consumers' need. Just in the last 18 months, the company has grown through 10 quick acquisitions. 2019 is when it raised its Series B. So the company was somewhere valued at around 150 to 200 million. And after that, in the last 18 months alone, it has raised around 1,800 crores from investors, including Prosus, Warburg Pincus. And if sources are to be believed, the company is now stitching up a larger round from new and existing investors, expecting a valuation bump up to around 2 billion.
Now that the chronology is in place, I needed to understand what exactly this whole content to commerce strategy really means.
The content to commerce strategy is where you know, you discover your customers through content, which is like either through websites, there are blogs, you know, there's Instagram, YouTube, where a lot of these women, you know, and also now men who come and consume a lot of content. They could be training sessions or how to use a particular product kind of a thing. There are a lot of questions that women have around their hygiene. And also you discover customers through them and you, you know, translate that into commerce where you then end up channeling them to buy your products. If we have to see by the numbers that the company has shared with us prior to the Popexo acquisition, they were probably acquiring 30,000 customers each month, and that now stands at around 2 million. So each time someone comes to the Popexo platform searching for, say, the best concealer or, say, the best you know, lipstick brand, so there would be a lot of articles or a lot of posts that people would have created. And at the end of it, there would be advertisements or these are your own, you know, promoted content where you really direct people to the Good Glam products. Same is the case with, say, Miss Malini Entertainment, where, you know, they have this huge influencer network. Now, influencers and the content creators have come to assume a lot of importance in the last in a couple of years, where people have started consuming a lot of content on YouTube and Instagram.
With that context in mind, the Good Glam Group struck gold with its acquisition of celebrity media and influencer talent management network, Miss Malini Entertainment. And we got Naushad Rizwanullah to give us an idea of where the company fits into the larger vision of the Good Glam Group.
The precursor to our acquisition was MyGlam's acquisition of Popexo a couple of years back. At that time, that was the first bet they made on the content to commerce proposition, and the results that they saw from that were extremely positive. And as a result, you know, the idea, of course, is that the customer acquisition cost can be quite high in these industries, in the beauty segment, etc. And by leveraging content and creators into that mix, what MyGlam saw was a dramatic reduction in their customer acquisition costs. So as a result, the strategy has been to kind of expand the content footprint to be able to also expand the reach and access to creators and influencers. And in Miss Mani's case, that includes also your top level celebrities and TV OTT type of stars, as well as musicians, etc. And so, you know, the Miss Mani acquisition filled in some white spaces that MyGlam was looking to add to their media portfolio. So, you know, content to commerce, the first word, content is the operative term here. And as I just described, this is a big part of what we do. And the word that's missing here is also creators. Young audiences are increasingly spending most of their time on digital, consuming content from their creators. And as a result, naturally, they tend to take a lot of their lifestyle or other advice from these people. And that's where we fit in.
But now I'm super curious, and I'm sure you are too, to find out more about the kind of potential that this space offers to brands that want to reach their customers directly through influencers.
It's still early days, you know, for the acquisition. And right now, most of our time and energies have gone into the integration and the alignment of our teams and strategies. In terms of insights, that's something that will grow over time. In terms of numbers, of course, it depends on the industry, the client, the sector. So it's hard to give an overall kind of numerical answer to this. But the big advantage of influencer marketing is the fact that you're able to now reach and target the majority of your consumer base, which today is a lot of young people, because that's where they're spending their time online, on digital. And secondly, you're able to tap into the people and the opinions and the voices that they trust and respect. And if you can do that in a conscientious way where it's clear that you're following good hygiene guidelines and you're not just promoting anything and everything just because you can using an influencer, but actually targeting the right influencers for your segment or your category, the likelihood of converting on your advertising is much higher when it comes from a trusted entity like an influencer or a creator, or even if it's your friend that's shared a piece of content they've enjoyed from another influencer. And so that's why you're seeing, you know, a lot of brands now shifting increasingly their marketing spends to digital. And as we've seen during the pandemic, you know, when things do get impacted, digital is the one sphere that is able to continue.
And business through the pandemic has been booming.
So when the first wave hit, everything really kind of shut down. Advertising came to a standstill. But the bright spot there actually was that most marketing dollars that were still active shifted into the digital sphere, and specifically at that time into influencer marketing, which is one of our core areas of expertise. So in that sense, we actually had parts of our business that were able to do fairly well. When the second wave hit, which was a much more severe situation, things came to a bit more of a grinding halt at that point. And so the recovery that everyone was expecting was a bit delayed. Overall, we've had some bright spots. We've had some, you know, lean spots like everyone else. And looking forward, we think it's going to lead to a very strong recovery that promises to be a good year for us.
But it isn't all rosy. I got Sneha to give us an idea of the pitfalls of this strategy.
There's no real proof yet that people are really transacting through these content platforms. So we are yet to see the numbers converge in large chunk. Yes, people are consuming a lot of content, but how many of them are really coming and buying your products? The jury's out on that. There are brands like Nykaa, now it's a listed company, and they have been doing this entire influencer content thing. And just yesterday when we were talking to the founder, they said that, you know, the only reliance on content to commerce is not how a BPC company should go about. So there are probably smaller players such as the Good Glam Group, you know, Sugar Cosmetic and others, where for them, I think these kind of content to commerce playbook might work because their base is really small. It is only over the next 24 to 36 months will we know that, you know, whether these companies are actually able to justify the kind of valuations they have or the kind of money that the investors have put backing this entire idea of content to commerce.
So basically what Sneha is trying to say is that I'm the perfect candidate for all of these brands because I not only consume their content, but also end up transacting. Guys, I'm being played. While I process that, let me tell you that while speaking of the drawbacks, one cannot ignore that the Good Glam Group suddenly finds itself in a pickle thanks to the news flow around Scoop Whoop, a newly acquired company.
CEO of Scoop Whoop, Satvik Mishra, resigned after being accused of allegedly sexually harassing a former employee. The accusation surfaced recently after the survivor posted on social media the reason for his resignation and named Satvik as the accused.
for companies that are actually backed by these kind of marquee investors. There's some bit of basic hygiene that they need to follow, you know, when they do acquisitions. Things like sexual harassment allegations are a very big red flag for these investors who have very high governance standards. So in that sense, I think the board of GoodGlam would definitely take you know, note of these allegations. And definitely it does then put a big question mark on how they're going to in future really go and acquire companies, because you would never really know what kind of due diligence issues or red flags come up post-acquisition. So I'm sure the company is going to be extra careful. But is it going to stop its, you know, the kind of wheel it has set in motion to go and acquire more companies? I believe no. Are they going to do more due diligence and spend enough time, you know, than just do these quick fixes or quick acquisitions? Probably yes.
Rishi Pratim Mukherjee, ScoopWhoop's co-founder and representatives of the GoodGlam Group, declined to be a part of the show, but the GoodGlam Group did send us a statement on Thursday evening. It said, and I quote, "In light of recent news reports on ScoopWhoop Media, the GoodGlam Group will be launching an independent inquiry into the matter, which will be conducted by the law firm of Cyril Amarchand Mangaldas. Priyanka Gill, co-founder GoodGlam Group, will oversee ScoopWhoop Media." End quote. All this becomes key when you understand ScoopWhoop has been a strategic addition to the GoodGlam portfolio. Listen to GoodGlam Group's Darpan Sanghvi talk about the ScoopWhoop announcement.
The big play for us here was to enter the men's category. As you know, as a group, we have sort of, you know, perfected the content to commerce play, and that's our moat, the big content engines that we have at the top. The content engines we had, which were whether it was Popexo or Baby Chakra, were targeting the female audience and the female user. The brands that we have, MyGlam, Momsco, Baby Chakra, Popexo, they were all again all targeted towards the female user. We now, you know, see the men's business is about a 10,000-12,000 crore rupee opportunity. The men's personal care opportunity in India is about 10,000-12,000 crores, and we, you know, and it's fast growing and it's important. And we wanted to ensure we play there. ScoopWhoop. Their audience, they have about 100 million users. 70 to 75% of them are men. And thus, the ScoopWhoop acquisition laid the foundation for our entry into the men's personal care segment.
For the moment, the GoodGlam Group seems unfazed as ScoopWhoop comes under scrutiny. They also recently acquired two influencer marketing platforms, such as Viduli and Winkle, and announced the birth of their Good Creator Co.
To build this tech platform and acquire more influencer-driven companies, the GoodGlam Group has seeded the new venture with 200 crore rupees. With the combined strength of Plixo, Winkle, Miss Valerie and Viduli, the Good Creator Company will host 250,000 influencers and hopes to reach over 70 million users every month.
Well, I figure Naushad, who is also the co-founder of the Good Creator Co., would be the best person to ask what this would translate to for the GoodGlam Group.
Good Creator Company, which is GCC. That is going to be an entity that focuses on influencers and creators and the creator economy as the largest creator ecosystem in the country. And so our time has largely been on that aspect of things. And as we kind of move forward, you'll see us rolling out a lot of exciting new properties and IPs. One that I can, you know, mention that happened right away, pretty much right after the acquisition, was the launch of our Creator Calendar, which is the first of its kind creator calendar with Dabu Ratnani. If you're familiar with the Bollywood calendar that he does every year, which is a very big hit property, we've now taken that concept to creators. So that's the kind of IP and the kind of exciting things that we can do now as a group with the combined resources that we have.
So would that mean we'll see other beauty companies follow suit? Here's what Sneha and Naushad had to say.
What most beauty and personal care companies are trying to do is see how they can, you know, service a customer through the entire spectrum of their needs. And people have realized in the last 18 months that the winner takes it all. So there has been this mad rush to just go and build the entire full stack platform where, you know, you become the go-to platform for any customer. So how do you really do that? Either you build those capabilities ground up or you go and acquire companies that really help you become one. In the investment banking parlance, it is called time to market strategy. How much time are you going to take to really build that capability ground up? If that's going to take significantly longer time, and if you have to then pay a little more amount of money to just go and acquire that capability, it is better to do that because then it gives you a head start or an edge against your competitors. So a lot of companies, especially in the BPC segment, be it Nykaa, be it Purple, be it Sugar Cosmetics, you know, then there's Mamaearth, all of them have acquired companies in the last 12 to 18 months to really beef up their offering. Each company has its own playbook, and not necessarily they would be relying so much on the content to commerce strategy. But definitely that is something that any company in today's D2C age cannot ignore. A lot of things having changed in the last 2 years since the pandemic broke out, a lot of those customers have moved online. So people are not getting into physical stores as much as they were, you know, the footfalls have come down. And the online sales have definitely inched up significantly. So people going by their own strategy would beef up their platforms either organically or inorganically.
But in terms of how much the spend will be, do you anticipate it to be as much as Good Glam does?
Probably not, because Good Glam is going by its own playbook and its own strategy, and there are others like Sugar and all, which are omni-channel players. So omni-channel is where you also sell online and also have physical touch points. And also Good Glam probably has cornered a lion's share in the content space, because they have just went on and acquired back-to-back companies. So probably they have the best bunch of influencer marketing companies today.
And now if you look at the creator economy and how large it's become, the problem of having resources to be able to actually play in that market is going to be something that every small independent company faces. So certainly I think we see a lot of room for consolidation. That's one of the reasons we also took the plunge. And what's really going to be important is to see now how all of these pieces get put together. In our case, I think what's really exciting is that all of the acquired companies really have complementary skill sets and allow us to do what we're already doing, but just to a much larger scale, to a much faster execution, and to be able to do it across larger demographics, as we just discussed. So certainly, I think you will see more consolidation, whether that's brands picking up media entities, whether that's consolidation amongst media entities. I think in both cases, you'll see some action.
Sandeesh and Satvik are set to fight things out in court. While the verdict is anybody's guess, what is proven beyond reasonable doubt is that the Good Glam Group's investment strategy has worked like a charm, for the most part at least. Just like I bought a serum that I don't really need, if you're someone who uses social media, the chances are that you too have bought something that an influencer you like has recommended. We don't know about whether this Scoop-Whoop incident will impact Good Glam Group's acquisitions going forward, but what we do know is that the content-to-commerce model is here to stay. Thank you, Sneha and Naushad, for your time. I'm your host, Diya Lekhi, and you're listening to Good Glam, Bad Glam on The Morning Brief. This episode was produced by Surbhi Modi and Swati Joshi from Awaaz, sound editor Varun Kapahi from Awaaz, executive producer Arijit Barman. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. If you liked this episode, make sure to share it on your social media. Do write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great day. All sound clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.